Hello everyone, we're going to be starting soon. I'm just going to be introducing the speaker for the impact of racial reconciliation in missions. Here we have Emmanuel Bagumako. He's the General Secretary of IFES, and also he's done missions throughout the world, including Pakistan, Ukraine, and also in Mexico.
The introduction was a kind of game, and I asked my brother to guess about me, and I never been in Pakistan and some other countries he named. I've been in Mexico recently, but I think I will do the same with you. If you will describe me with just one word, what will you say? One word. Okay. And I will have five people to answer my question.
A male, a man.
Okay, thank you.
Similar.
Okay. Cool.
Bright.
Direct.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I just wanted to see if your words will be like comparative words or related to race or connect to a group of people. What do you think? Was it, brother, was it close to race or a few of them? So I think we always have a quick assessment on who is the person we are talking to or we are meeting. And sometimes this can become an identity for us, and we assume that we know who is that person. And we'll go with another question, with a picture. So do you think this guy is my father? And this is a simple question with a yes or no. So those who think he is my father could raise their hand. Those who think he is not, please. Okay, so we have some people who are neither yes or not. And I will start with a story. When I was 13 years old, that's the first time I heard about ethnic groups in my country. We had a crisis, a social crisis, and I didn't know what happening, and I asked, well, what is going on? And they said, Hutu and Tutsis are fighting. And I was, who is Hutu and who is Tutsi? And they tried to describe those groups. And then I was so confused and asked, who are we? And they said, we are Tutsi. And the following question was, how can I have a father Hutu while I'm a Tutsi? Because what they are describing, if I look at me, yes, I cannot be a Tutsi, but if I look my father, he's a Hutu. And that was so confusing, and I say, ha. So they say, you are just stupid. But I think for some of you who don't know the difference, the description of Hutu and Tutsi, it's just a black and a black, and it's okay, similar. So what is our global perspective on people? Do we go in details, or do we try to understand them, and or How do we define our identity? So, some people I don't know, Omi and Winan, I just read their production. They say race lies in the terrain of innate characteristics, of which skin color and other physical attributes provide only the most obvious and in some respects most superficial indicators. Without a racial identity, one is in danger of having no identity. When I was reading that, I was so upset, and I was, how can we manage to combine something from inside and physical indicators to define someone? And I was at the point to write another sentence saying, if we rely on racial identity, we are in danger of having no identity. I don't know if I will write that, but so this is something said by someone we can agree on or not, but sometimes we build what we are or what we understand as race or identity from what people are saying about us or about others. And I will go again with a story of two young men. This young man, Innocent, grew up in a refugee camp. He is a Hutu, and he was being told Tutsis are not people, they are animals. And his first time to see a Tutsi as a human being was when he is 16 years old. From his childhood, he was thinking, this other group, they are not human being, and they are just animals. And this is another friend, Adrien, that's a French name. He's a Tutsi, and he grew up in a displaced camp of Tutsis. And he has been told from his childhood, while they are facing the same crisis of 93, that if you see a Hutu, you have to kill him before he kills you. They are to be killed. And till they are like 15, 16, 20 years, this is what they have in their minds about other people, other group. Though they are all Burundians, they live in the same country. But for some, the other group is animals, and for others, the other group is just people to be killed. Katongole and Rice. This is an Ugandan guy and American guy. They are working together about reconciliation, and they wrote the same book, and they said, without reference to an explicit beyond, we are left with versions of reconciliation that offer little concrete hope that fundamental change is possible. Reconciliation is a journey beyond our vision, beyond human actors and our strategies and program. I say to some people here that I will be speaking from my context. And I believe what we are having in other countries is really similar. So if I talk about Hutus and Tutsis, you can understand black or white. You can understand Israelite and Palestine. You can understand something else. But we are so divided. And this is becoming like our identity. And as we work on reconciliation, sometimes it's like hopeless. The gap, the division is so in ourselves. But we still hope that we can engage with reconciliation. And well, quote someone else, Christopher, who said, fundamentally, our mission, if it's biblical, informed, and validated, means our committed participation as God's people at God's invitation and command in God's own mission within the history of God's world for the redemption of God's creation. It's, God is so inside. And as we talk about mission, as we talk about reconciliation, God is at center and Christ is at center. So these things that have been said, but we are here now, you and me. What are we going to say? I like the theme of this conference. What story will you tell? Will I continue to say that Hutus are my problem? I am a Tutsi. Will I continue to say, if I am a Hutu, that Tutsis are my problem? Will I continue to define myself against some other people? Or will I see something different? Will I build something different? I hope the story we will tell is a story of gospel. And the gospel or mission is about identity as well as the racial issue. And the following sentence is so difficult for me to say because I fell on that. I tried to make it as Christ did. The word becomes flesh is the pattern of the mission of God. I can stand on my side and continue to say who you are and you are doing wrong and you are my problem. I can stand on my side and continue to say, if you want me to be reconciled with you, you should change. You come and you. But I can step out of my zone of comfort and go, and the world become flesh. Do we understand that we should act on reconciliation? And how do we do that? These are the questions I have, and I have for you. I'm sorry if you think you are coming here for answers. I have many questions, and I think you have many questions too. So we are here with our questions, trying to understand what God wants us to do or to be. Who are you is an important question of identity. And if you answer that question from the gospel, this is a big step to reconciliation. But if I answer that question from the history of my country, I'm not sure because I have been Tutsi and Hutu and something else. I was told, I know who I am. But at the same time, at some point, I went through crisis of identity. I told you about my first crisis was when I was 13 years old. Confusion on me and my father. Later on, when I was like 18 years old, while we are facing crisis, people were coming to me and say, you pretend to be a Tutsi, but you're not. I was, why? Because some history. And till now, as I speak to you, sometimes with my students, these are questions I have. oh, we heard you saying that you are, but we think you are not. Why? Because I don't display what the society I'm living in expect me to display. Because I'm not living, I'm not showing what they expect me to show. And I think you can be facing the same thing. I don't know. But what lies behind racial definition is identification of people. How do you say? This is another crisis of identity. English is not my first language, so how do you say identification? I don't know. You understand, you can read. And sometimes this become our identity to you or to them. But I will definitely ask us to reflect and think really deeply, what is our identity? Because from the head level, we can just say, we are Christian. Wow, that's great. But when we face strong crisis, what is our answer? Are we saying, yeah, we are Christians? Or we can say something else. Oh, well, I'm sorry, I will fed you with my stories. But sometimes again, I was traveling with a pastor who is a Hutu and I'm Tutsi, and our driver was a Tutsi, and we were going to pass by a region. Then they gunfires, well, fighting, and this guy decided, nah, this is not safe, so let's try another road. We suggested another road. That the road was passing a zone of Tutsis, and the pastor said, I cannot go through that road. I don't feel comfortable. So we tried another road, making like 200 kilometers away, which should be like 100 kilometers, but we accepted because he was not comfortable. So we went through that road. At some point, we were stopped by guys who came and say, who are you? And those guys happened to be Tutsi. So they said, you just give us this guy, this Pastor Hutu, and you continue your road. So at that moment, I have to decide my identity. Who am I? And who is my brother? Oh, brother. Is he really a brother? Or he's just a pastor? We are traveling together and I have to save my life before, you know. So those guys said, I told them, I'm sorry, we are traveling together and this guy is not going to stay here. We are going back together. And they say, if you want to die with him, it's okay. But he has to die. This was a crisis. And I had to stand with him facing that. Finally, he was not killed and we continued. Thank God. I believe our identity is that we are created in God's image. Isn't? Do you believe we are created in God's image? Yes? Yes? Me too? Or is you only? I don't know. Sometimes this can be just a theory and we don't believe strongly in that. That every human being is created in God's image. I will not go with the history of exploration and how some people were thinking some other people are not human being, and they wrote down a manifesto, those kind of things. If you want to go with history, you can find it wherever. I think it's something known. But at some point, do we believe we are all created in God's image? Or sometimes you can say, and they said, some said, that another group of people cannot be saved. And this is something happening in my country. And yes, we are created in God's image, and we lost that image. At some point, we are fighting, we are divided, we are facing crisis. But I believe also that we are recreated in God's image, progressively in the likeness of Christ, his son. So I can be like not totally as God created me and he thought about me when he was creating me. But I believe I'm on a progress transformation. I'm going back to that. And I believe you are going back to that. You can be fine or not. You can be wrong or not now. But I believe you are going there. And I believe we are going there. Why do we look at what we are right now only? And what's going on? How do I understand my race? If you read some books, you will find that some people are defining race as comparison between two people, two society, two groups of people. And we can decide if we define ourselves, our race against others, or we define our race from the origins, from where we are coming from. How do I define Tutsi? How do I define Hutu? How do you define black or white? What is race actually? Can we say I understand that from the beginning, God wanted just one race. And as he's working on redemption, he's doing the same, trying to bring back people to be one community, one people, one race. And saying that from my society to you guys, it's like, are you serious? But yes, I believe we can be one. I believe we can be one people, one community, one race. Though I'm Burundian, and I will be, I continue to be. I am not American. And I don't think I will be. I don't know. Things change. Welcome to Burundi. And you can be Burundian. Yes. Great. If you want. Not now. In few years. Welcome to Burundi. Not now. But it's okay. So what I'm saying is, do we continue to define ourselves from what is said in our society, or we choose to define as God said? What story are we telling? What's going on? The problem with racial definition is that people want to identify themselves from others. This is a problem of comparison, and not from their origin and their destiny. And this creates insecurities that can end up in horrible consequences. This is natural. When I meet you, the first question I ask myself, who are you? And the quick answer is, you are not me. So if you are not me, that's a problem. I don't know if you agree with me. I don't know if you are fine with me. But I hope you can be me. Does it make sense? You are who you are, but can we be the same? Can we display and play our identity in Christ? The other point is about racial reconciliation, is like identity transformation. The racial reconciliation comes from comprehending properly our new identity in Christ. We grew up with an identity, but if you don't trade the old identity with the new, we still have a problem. But I believe we can trade, we can focus on, we can comprehend our new identity in Christ, then we can be reconciled. And the work of trading our old identity with new identity in Christ will define a new and one race, not copies of people, but one community with our differences, and it's fine to be different, but with the same purpose of life, with the same destiny. And racial reconciliation is a utopia or ultimate goal. This will define if you engage in this journey of reconciliation or not. If you believe it's not, it's something we cannot reach, then it's just blah, blah. But if we believe it's something we'll reach, probably at the end of our journey, I don't know when. And for sure, one day we'll be reconciled under the feet of Christ. And this is something difficult to believe in. I have my struggle believing in reconciliation. When I work on something and later on it's broken, do I still believe in that? I've been working with this topic for a long time, I don't know how to define long, but some days. Sometimes it's like, yes, this is really happening. And sometimes it's like, uh-oh, I was dreaming. What do you think? Is it a dream, a possible dream, or something we just talk about? How do we engage that? And second point is that racial reconciliation can be a mean or a name. It's not only an end result of God's mission, but it's also a mean to reveal God in missions. Reconciliation is something, if it's not done by God, it cannot happen. We can decide to live together safely. We can decide that I will not fight you, you will not fight me. That's not reconciliation. That's just peace agreement. And we have a peace agreement in my country. It lasted like 15 years. Now it's down. They signed in 2000 a peace agreement that will not fight again. But now, as I speak to you, we are fighting. And people can stand and say, we don't agree with the peace agreement. What do we do? Do we sign a new peace agreement, or do we look for a true reconciliation? While God's mission is to redeem human beings into his image, I talked about identity. Missions of men concern the work of the new man with a new identity as a partaker of this great mission. And I hope from now I can invite you to be partakers of God's mission. What God is doing, you can partake with him and do the great mission of redeeming human identity, human beings in God's image. Joining God into his mission is not only very important, but is urgent to stop the disintegration of this world. I'm working with students. They were just born in the crisis of 93. they never lived in a peaceful country, never. They don't know what is peace. And you can imagine someone who grew up in a displaced or a refugee camp and he was talked of something and his manner of living is so related to that. This is the only thing he knows. And it's going deeper and deeper. Recently in May, some students had to run from their campuses because they were targeted. Imagine you grew up with a fear and now you are targeted. Do we continue to believe that God is doing something? Can we really continue to believe that we can join God's mission? And I said, this is all about identity, and our identity can be a strength if we're well-defined or a hindrance in the mission. Welcome in my country to do mission, but you are coming as who? I don't know. Who is coming? Is he American or a European or is a Christian? I'm sorry. I say welcome in my country. As we serve within diverse communities, the distance and difference between the missionaries and the communities will help or destroy the ministry. And this is where we have to learn the pattern of God's mission. The word becomes flesh. The tension between God's mission of building one community and the growing of racial conflicts and destruction of people, humanity, is becoming more and heavier. And we can choose to be spectators, victims, or agents of change. And every day is a time of decision. And today is a time of decision. You can choose to be a spectator, it's okay. It's not. I will hope everyone here is engaged to be an agent of this change and believe strongly that this is possible. Coming back to my father, in the 70s, he had to do mission. And this was about relevant Christianity. At some point was like just a theory. Christianity was like, oh, I'm Christian, it's that. I'm going to heaven and this is worldly thing, doesn't matter, it's lost and we are going to heaven. I don't know if you still believe in that Christianity is about, oh, I'm not from here, I'm going, and nothing on earth is about me. And this is a guy who was a pastor and he was in politics. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad because he had to fight for justice and he was put in jail. And actually, I was born when he was just after that time of jail. He was out of jail. And I'm not sure he was out. I think they want to protect me and say, oh, he was out. But when I was born, my father was not around. That's all I know. Because he was fighting for justice. Because he was a pastor who believes he has to engage the society. And that was in 72. And 93, we had another crisis. 20 years later, we had another crisis. He played the same behavior. He did the same. He put himself in risk to die and to be put in jail. And I say, this is a stubborn guy. But I believe some of my identity is coming from what he did. He was believing in God's mission. He was believing he has to do something, standing with the oppressed, fighting for justice. He had some high position. Being a governor in the 70s in my country was like, wow. Talking with the president and whatever. But he stayed a simple man. Simple life. This is just amazing. 2008, we are holding a mission conference with students from Burundi, Rwanda, and Congo. The fourth day of the seven-day conference, we had a crisis within delegates from Rwanda and Congo, because those are two countries fighting since 94. Fighting, okay. Let's just say they are not at peace. And delegates from those countries, one delegate wanted to celebrate liberation of Rwanda, and for a Congolese, that means a start of fight and problems. And I was so innocent. The Rwandan guy came and say, "I want us to celebrate a liberation day." I said, "Wow, that's great. Let's do that." So I called him. I called all people I was the director of the conference, and I called all people in the room and say, "Let's listen to this brother. He has something to tell us." And he said, Liberation Day. And the Congolese were so frustrated. And I saw it because I was standing like here, and I saw that some guys are not comfortable. I said, "Oh, brother, do you have something to say?" So a Congolese came on the podium and say, "This is a wrong day. This is a..." So fight within the room between Christians. We tried to do something, and at the end, we put on as a memorial of a tree. We believed these two countries can be reconciled. If we Christians start the job, politics will follow. That was 2008. 2010, we're invited to do the same in Congo. But in 2008, Congolese said, you are not welcome in our country. We'll kill you. And those are Christians. But we worked 2 years to make this happen. Rwandese came in 2010. 2012, this is a 2 years conference. 12, we were to be in Rwanda, and we invited Congolese 2 days before the conference. Like, all the time they were saying, "We are coming," but 2 days before the conference, they say, "We are not coming." They didn't say, actually. They just pulled phones off. Tried to reach them till last day. They are not showing up. And we had that conference. We don't have Congolese because it's happening in Rwanda and we still have problems. 2014, that's last year, we had a new conference. They all show up. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Do we still believe in that? So, I'm talking from a divided society. Burundi is in crisis right now. And I'm talking into a divided society. But I believe I'm talking to a united and reconciled community. You are, I believe, we are united. Are we? Let me hope that we are united and we can influence our society with being one community, one race, reconciled under Christ's cross. Thank you. So this is 15 minutes. Can be questions and answers, but can be also your comments, your help.
You talked about moving, how we can't just have peace agreements, like the difference between peace agreements versus reconciliation. And I'm from Canada, and we, one thing I've found is that in some parts of Canada, people are very nice, and they want to put all the racial differences aside, and just we're just Canadian, that's all we are. And I'm from Quebec in particular, where the French-English divides are very prevalent, and there's history there. So how do you move from just pretending that there were no problems and that there it's a peace agreement to reconciliation in a genuine way? And when you're talking about how we're all Christians and that we're united in that, sometimes I find that in the Christian community we use that as a way to avoid the tensions. And how do you find the balance, and what's the journey from going from peace agreement to real reconciliation? I know that's a very big question, but yeah, do you have thoughts?
I was expecting a comment, not a question, but thank you for your question. I believe reconciliation is grounded on Christianity, believing in Christ, new identity in Christ. And that means we are saved, and we are saved because we are bad, we are wrong, we are wretched, we are whatever. And the problem is when we want to play as if we are good, we don't have any problem. But as Christians, we do not have to pretend, because we know that though we are not good, there is a solution in Christ. So I don't have a problem being bad. I don't have a problem you say I'm wrong. I don't have a problem you say I am a problem, because there is an answer, there is a solution. Other people cannot embrace reconciliation as we see, because they are just, if you say I'm wrong, you are my enemy. That's the belief of out people. Is it right to say out people? But for me, from a Christian perspective, if you say that I'm not good with you, I say it's okay. Let's look at Christ and his cross and solve my problem. So I believe that though people can pretend to be good, as Christian, we don't have a problem to be not good, because we know that though we are not good, we can be good through Christ. So if we embrace that understanding of it's not a problem to have problem, we can work on reconciliation. Or we'll try to have a peace agreement. I'm bad and you are bad, but let's just keep a distance.
All right, I have a question. So when you share the gospel with someone of a different race and they tell you that they're actually agnostic or atheist, and also as well at the same time a different race from you, how can you get to their level? Like, how can you connect with them in order to share about Christ's love?
I think to share the gospel, start by listening. And sometimes we fail because we don't listen. We just go and pop up some words and do. But if you listen, I believe that God is working within every race. God is working within every community, every people. If we listen, we'll understand what God is doing in that community. And if we continue from where God is working, we can work together with God. So please listen before we speak.
Just as you were talking about the conference that you were hosting, there was conflict between the Rwandan community and the Congolese community, and you're not part of this community. So similarly in America, a lot of people see race issues as black and white, but as an Asian American, I'm trying to figure out like where my role is in that. So what do you think is the role of people who are outside conflict in helping enter and reconcile the like conflicts?
I would love to agree with you that you are not part of the problem, but is it right? Welcome inside the problem. You are part of it. At that point, Rwanda and Congo were having a conflict. But as Burundians, and on the picture you saw that we have a Burundian, we have three people, because we understood the hot point of the crisis between Rwanda and Burundi. But this is not between Rwanda and Burundi only. We are in. So I believe now we can say black and white in America, but actually it's not that. What I understand, I think I can say that I understand very little about what is happening in America, but I think it's white and others. I can be wrong, but I think it's that. So if let's just say, if we are in a community, we are there because God wants us to be there for a purpose. And the time we understand that we all are agent of God's mission will not see us as a third part or second or first part, but will see us as one of the agents. So I don't believe we have two or three parts. We have just two groups, a group who understand who we are in God's sight and a group who don't, people who don't understand who they are in God's sight.
Same question.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on a little bit of maybe a part of the second part of what she asked in terms of how to help in that situation or how to build about reconciliation in that situation if you're not from that environment or if you are visiting or you know two people in conflict. So not that you're out of the conflict, but you are not actively fighting and you see the conflict. Like, what was the best way to engage in it or help?
Let me try something. If if two people are fighting and you are like out of the fight, it's good to jump in, but it's not good. It's important to understand what is happening. And when we try to understand what is happening, we'll understand it affects us as it affects them. We'll understand it's not between the two people. It's something different. It's something from other roots. And when we understand the roots of the problem, for me, I don't know, probably I'm extremist, but I think we have just two groups. We have just a group of those who understand, those who don't understand. And I would love us to change how we see, how we think about problems we are seeing, and to have a new perspective of what God is doing and what is happening and what we can do as God's agent, not from the perspective of society, but from God's perspective.
I was just wondering, do you have any actual examples or stories of where racial reconciliation was attained, either by a community or by one person, where there was some sort of forgiveness?
The two guys I showed you on the screen, Innocent... Oh. Okay, sorry. The two guys I showed you on the screen, Innocent and Adrien, were from the beginning of their childhood, they are fighting. But we worked with them on their understanding of their identity and their place in the kingdom, their place in God's family. And now they are not only friends, but they are doing mission together. And in May, I have to leave my country because of some commitment, and this is the time of crisis. And these two friends, these two brothers, were together staying in my house. It's something, if you understand what is happening in my country, to be together, a Tutsi and a Hutu, in a crisis, staying in the same house, this is just amazing. This is just amazing. And we have many stories like that in my country where we work on individual people to work with them, to process with them about their identity and to redeem their identity in Christ. And at the end, we are building a community of Hutu and Tutsi who don't see the other person as a problem, but who see the other person as a brother and a sister in Christ and can stand together, die together, rejoice together, struggle together, and those kind of things. And this is a very small scale if you compare to the population of the country, but it's happening. And that's why I believe we can continue. And that's why I believe even in America it's possible to have a community of people who believe they are together, though they are Asian or black or white or whatever, or green or orange or yellow. Okay. Thank you for being with us here. I thank you for your attention.
Yes, so can we thank our speaker for coming in?